Chapter 2. While it was no surprise Headmaster Sleet and Galahar Kennefic were exceptionally punctual, I was still impressed with the speed of their message. "Did they happen to say anything else?" I asked Arwen.
"No,"
the crimson-haired professor replied.
"The message was concise and to the point. They want all of the Guardians to meet them in the Headmaster's office as soon as possible. Those already at the Academy have been notified. So that just leaves those of us in this house, and probably Braden Flint."
"They're nothing if not thorough," I remarked as I tightened my bandolier across my chest. "Well, there's no time to lose. If they're ready for us, we can't keep them waiting for too long." Nia, Layla, and Aaron crossed back over to us, and they were closely followed by Ashla and Syra. Each of my women seemed to understand something was wrong, and a thick layer of tension filled the room.
"So I'm guessing by the urgent look on Arwen's face we're leaving,"
Layla spoke up first, and then her eyes flashed over to me.
"Or is it just you again this time, Griffey?"
"Not just me," I answered her. "Sleet and the Grand Mage are waiting for us at the Academy. They want all of the Guardians to gather straight away."
"If we're going back outside, we need to wear as much protective gear as possible,"
Nia advised as she wrapped her arms around herself.
"I don't think the masks are going to be enough to keep us from harm. Thick jackets, boots, trousers, anything that's going to keep the air from touching our skin is going to be ideal. So basically, we need to dress like we're about to walk through a snowstorm."
Layla raised an eyebrow.
"Basically,"
Nia smirked at the auburn-haired mage. "We need to be even more protected than that," I corrected, and then I glanced around to Arwen and Ashla. "Especially you two. I don't want the toxicity of the air to have an adverse effect on the babies. I mean, I'd honestly prefer if you'd both stay put."
"Griff, we're Guardians,"
Ashla reminded me, and her chocolate brown eyes fixed on me intently.
"Even if we wanted to stay behind, we accepted those positions and the risks that come with them. If Headmaster Sleet and the Grand Mage wants the Guardians to be present for the meeting, we have no other option than to oblige. Besides, should anything go awry, I'll use my magic to heal us."
Arwen chimed in, and the healer mage tucked a strand of flame-colored hair behind her ear.
"Not that I foresee the toxins reaching through our protective materials that deeply, of course."
"I know I'm sounding overprotective. I just want to make sure you're up to the task." I smiled at my lovers. "If anything were to happen to you both, I don't know what I'd do."
"We appreciate the concern, I promise,"
Ashla insisted, and the Ice Mage sauntered over to me and took my hand in hers.
"Arwen and I will take extra precautions to make sure the babies will be okay."
"Thank you," I whispered, and then I drew the umber-skinned mage closer to me and planted a soft kiss on her lips. The familiar scent of her perfume filled my senses, and it took all of my willpower to tear myself away from her.
"We've got this,"
she whispered once we pulled apart. "Do you think the others know about the air?" I wondered. "Braden has to get to the Academy from his house, and it's at least 10 minutes from here. The walk to the school is going to be even longer. And if we're suffering from the air in the short amount of time that we were out there..."
"Would it be possible for all of us to teleport to the Academy?"
Nia proposed.
"I know the Arkans are experiencing some turmoil right now, so I feel bad about suggesting this, but if we're worried about the effects of the air, why subject ourselves to it?"
"That's a valid point," I agreed with the Arkan-haired elementalist, and then I tapped my finger against my lower lip. "I'd still want us to wear protective layering, but maybe I, or Sarah, if I can get her to settle enough, can open a portal for us."
"I think that would be our best option,"
Arwen agreed. "It also keeps Braden from having to leave his home," I added. "I don't want him to risk getting hurt because he wasn't aware of the dangers of the air."
"Aw, you're such a good friend,"
Layla smiled at me, but there was a mischievous glint in her round hazel eyes that suggested she was teasing me. "Don't act like you wouldn't do the same for him, Bethel," I pointed out, and the petite mage opened her mouth to argue with me, but she realized my observation was true.
"As much as I don't want to rush out of here, I'd suggest we grab whatever else we need and get to heading out,"
Arwen proposed as her eyes darted over to the clock.
"Now, Griff, once you have your things..."
I'll go ahead and summon Sarah. I finished for her. I want to check on her anyway. So let's get everyone down here. I suppose it'd make a lot more sense to talk about my dream and everything else with all of the Guardians and the higher-ranking officials present, instead of me having to tell the story multiple times.
I'll head upstairs and try to catch Freya.
Aaron volunteered.
She should be with Vala,
Nia informed her. And the orange-haired mage offered the elementalist a simple nod before she disappeared upstairs to grab the Hawk Princess. Luckily, I'd had the sense to grab my jacket, bandolier, and gas mask before I'd come downstairs, so I was more than prepared to make our way to Brayden's place and then over to the academy. As my women rushed around, I reached back into my consciousness and carefully navigated until I felt Sarah's presence. I could still feel the lingering fear and tension from our prior conversation, but I didn't allow myself to worry about it too much. The task at hand was far too important, and though I knew the Arkans were scared, I was relying on Sarah's abilities to help us out.
Griff,
my lover called out to me in a small voice.
Is that you?
I'm right here, I soothed her. It's just me. No one else.
Oh, good,
Sarah murmured.
I was worried for a moment that you weren't alone.
There's no need to worry, my love, I assured her. I banished Azraneth from my consciousness, remember?
I know,
the dark-winged Arkan replied.
There are still lingering feelings of uneasiness I'm having trouble getting rid of, but I'll deal with it. Now, how can I help you?
Sarah, I'm in need of your assistance, I said. We need to get over to Brayden's house and then over to the academy to meet with Sleet and the Grand Mage.
Griff, I don't think it's a good idea for us to go back out there,
the Arkan said slowly.
What if the demon attempts to enter our heads again? Or even worse, it tries to lash out at us. It exercised restraint before, but now we have no idea if it's going to use those tentacles to try and attack us.
That's a big part of the reason I'm making this request, I said. We don't want to take the Snapdarner. We need your teleportation magic.
Oh,
Sarah replied simply.
I see.
I know there's a chance Azraneth might strike us directly at some point. I sighed. And I also know that's not something you want to think about. But we can't sit behind these walls forever. We have to fight it any way we can, Sarah.
I know,
Sarah said.
I know you're right. I only worry for your safety.
And I appreciate that, I assured her in my calmest tone. But the real risk when it comes to my safety and that of my team is prolonged exposure to the air. Teleporting us and Brayden to the academy will cut down on both time and toxin risk. Now, that could change once we get to the academy, but I'll do my best to keep you all safe. I promise.
I know you will,
the Dark Winged Arkan said.
You always took such good care of us, Griff, and I'll do as you ask.
With her blessing in mind, I closed my eyes and concentrated on undoing the wards that kept the Arkan locked away in her cage. The place on my back where Sarah's mark resided began to tingle, and as the sensation spread, plumes of blue-black smoke began to appear in front of me. They formed a tall cloud, and once the smoke vanished, my lover appeared before me. The Arkan stretched her arms in the air, and her raven-black wings flexed with emotion. She let out a tiny noise of relief, and when she lowered her arms back to her side, her bright yellow eyes flickered over to me.
Hello, my love,
she purred, and her lips curled into a seductive yet tender smile. The goddess and I had recently proclaimed our love for one another, and had celebrated our relationship with a vigorous night of lovemaking. Our sexy night together resulted in Sarah getting pregnant, and while I was nervous about the physical appearance of my half-demigoddess offspring, I was excited to be a father yet again. Hi, Sarah, I greeted her. The goddess crooked her finger and waved me over, and I let out a low chuckle as I crossed over to her.
I'll open a portal for you, but first, you must kiss me,
Sarah instructed.
It's the least you can do for me.
I suppose that's a fair enough bargain, I chuckled, and then I reached out, gripped Sarah around her narrow waist, and pulled her close to me. The Arkan's full breasts pressed against me so tightly I could feel her heartbeat, and the warmth of her skin enticed me. As I brought my hands down to her hips, the dark-winged goddess wrapped her arms around my neck and kissed me so deeply, I thought I was going to be absorbed by her entirely. Kissing Sarah was a dangerous game that I couldn't let distract me too much further, but another second or two wasn't going to hurt anything. Once the goddess was satisfied, she gently bit down on my lower lip and then pulled away. The slight throb of pain on my mouth made my lower half stir, and I silently cursed my gorgeous lover for enticing me so deeply when we had a mission to pursue. Sarah was unapologetic, and she winked at me mischievously before she turned around to face an empty section of the room.
"Where would you like this portal to open?"
she wondered with a curious tilt of her head.
"Outside of the Flint residence?"
"Probably," I agreed with the Arkan. "I don't want to scare the fuck out of Maddie by suddenly appearing in her living room in the middle of the night. Things are scary enough as it is."
"Fair,"
the dark-winged goddess agreed.
"So, would a portal outside of their front door be suitable enough?"
"Yes," I nodded. "I think that would be a good entrance point. We need to be near enough that we can run up the drive with minimal exposure to the air."
"I can do just that,"
Sarah confirmed.
"Is everyone ready for travel, or do you need a few moments before we depart?"
"We need to wait for the others first," I instructed the goddess before she could raise her hand in the air.
"No need to wait. We're all prepared to go,"
Nia's voice rang out.
"At least most of us, anyways."
Sarah and I looked up to see the rest of my women clad in an array of jackets, turtlenecks, boots, and heavy gloves. Just as Layla had assessed, the mages looked like they were ready to traverse a treacherous terrain, which wasn't too far from the truth. "Wait, who are we still missing?" I asked after I took a head count.
"Freya,"
Arwen answered.
"She said she'd be down in a moment. She had to give Vala a bit of pep talk, and from what I heard, it isn't going as smoothly as she wishes it to. Vala is even more frightened than she was when the moon first shifted. I feel so bad for her."
I felt bad as well. Freya's younger sister had experienced a much more eventful stay in Mistral than I had ever intended her to, and I couldn't help but share Arwen's sentiments. Vala had accompanied us back to Varlay after a scuffle with a rival clan on Eerie Island. The younger Hawk Princess's life had been threatened, and her father, Chief Fenrir, was uncertain of how to keep his daughter safe. Vala proposed the idea of coming to Mistral for a little while to avoid more threats from the Moose Clan rebels. And it hurt my heart to know Chief Fenrir basically sent the girl into an even more treacherous situation by allowing her to return with us. That being said, Vala was much stronger than any of us ever gave her credit for. The Hawk Shapeshifter was impressive in battle, highly intelligent, and motivated by her desire to keep her people safe at any cost. I had no doubt in my mind that Vala would be an amazing queen when the time came for her to ascend to the throne, but for now, I needed to keep in mind she was a vulnerable young girl in a strange land where the moon had turned everything upside down. "Do you think I should go up there and give Freya some backup?" I wondered. I don't know if it would do any good, but maybe having someone else there would help ease some of Vala's fears. We did have a good talk the last time things started to go south.
"You could try, but I think Freya has it handled,"
the crimson-haired professor said.
"Your heart is definitely in the right place, Griff, but I think Vala would benefit from hearing from her sister rather than anyone else. Perhaps we could give them just a moment or two of privacy, and then Aaron could grab her and send her down."
I deliberated for a moment, and then realized my wife was correct. As much as I wanted to swoop in and help, the Hawk sisters needed a moment alone. The pair had grown up together, and as such, Freya would know just how to calm Vala down. My eyes darted to the clock. "We can wait a few minutes, but no more than that. Those alarms are making me worry about the rest of the Enclave, and I know the only thing that's going to help is finding out what Grand Mage has in mind."
"Speaking of sending down,"
Aaron called down, and I craned my neck up to see the mimic was standing up on the third floor landing.
"Griff, do you want Deer to come with you, or would you prefer for him to join you at the Academy? He's up here nudging my leg, and I can't figure out what that means."
"Dio?" I reached out to my summons, and suddenly I saw Dio's cat-like face peek up over the railing.
"Hey, boss,"
the monster greeted me.
"Do we need to go?"
It's up to you, I replied. If you want to come to the meeting with me, you're welcome to. But it probably won't be an eventful affair.
I can protect the babies if you'd prefer,
Dio offered with a tilt of his head.
Besides, the girls need a strong male figure around to keep them safe from creepy crawly demon guys.
Is that so? I chuckled, and I shook my head back and forth. You're such a cheeseball. But you're right. I think it would be good to have you here looking out for Aaron and Vala. I would feel safer knowing they had someone here.
On it!
Dio declared. And then I watched the cat monster saunter off proudly. He's going to stay, I answered Aaron. Feel free to boss him around as much as possible.
Will do,
the mimic giggled. Suddenly, the sound of a door closing loudly filled the entry, and I saw a blur of gold rush down the stairs. It was Freya, and the Hawk Princess's cheeks were flushed pink when she set foot in the foyer.
Sorry,
she apologized after she caught her breath.
I had to speak with Vala.
Is everything okay? I prompted her.
Yes,
the blonde shapeshifter nodded.
Vala was rightfully nervous about the tentacles, but I managed to put her at ease. She's agreed to help Aaron until we return from the academy.
Perfect, I said, and then I turned to the rest of the group. Ready?
I think we are,
Nia answered, and the others let out sounds of agreement. In the time Freya and I had our brief conversation, the rest of my lovers had already strapped on their gas masks, and I was impressed by their speediness.
Then I'd suggest we go,
Sarah spoke up. The dark-winged Arkin waved her hand in front of her, and a shimmer appeared in the air in front of her. The shimmer began to expand, and soon a portal opened up in the middle of the foyer.
That will never stop being crazy,
Layla murmured, and the auburn-haired mage shook her head back and forth. Shall we? I asked as I looked around the room at my women.
Yes,
Syra confirmed, and the others offered me sincere nods. Once I got their confirmation, I turned my attention back to Aaron. Make sure you don't open any windows or step outside for any reason until we get back, okay? I requested. And as I said, if you need anything...
Dio is here,
Aaron finished for me.
We've got everything under control. Get through that portal so you can get back to us, all right?
Yes, ma'am, I chuckled. After one last look over my weapons, crystals, and protective coverings, I strapped on my gas mask, and without further hesitation, my women and I crossed the room and stepped through Sarah's portal. When I opened my eyes again, a moment later, we'd appeared on the broad lawn of Brayden and Maddie's home. The Flint's house looked like something straight out of a fairy tale, and I admired the well-crafted exterior for a moment, and then hustled up to the front porch. My women followed suit, with the exception of Sarah, who lingered near her portal, and once we were all gathered, I approached Brayden's front door and knocked as hard as I could. Brayden! I called over the sound of the sirens. Brayden, it's Griff! I need you to open the door! There was a moment of silence. And then I knocked a few more times. Was Brayden still asleep? Was he aware of the current situation? Or was the ox-like summoner about to be surprised when he opened the front door? My eyes darted over to the garnet-colored sky, and I forced myself to keep away from the sight of Azraneath's tentacles. A shiver ran down my spine, and I rolled my shoulders back in an effort to calm down. Luckily for all involved, Brayden seemed completely alert when he opened the door.
Everyone get inside!
My former roommate ushered us in with an insistent wave of his hand.
Thank you,
I said, and when my women hustled into the house, I turned to Sarah, but the Arkin waved a hand in the air.
Hurry back out here once you've grabbed your friend,
the dark-winged goddess insisted.
I'll stay out here and stand watch just in case something tries to sneak up.
Thank you, I replied. I really appreciate it, Sarah.
Griff, come on!
Brayden called out to me, and after one last look at the Arkin, I stepped into the house. Once we were all inside, Brayden slammed the door with an impressive force.
Maker, he sighed. It's always something, isn't it? Just once I'd really love an evening where we all get a full night's sleep, but I suppose that's the life of a guardian.
Speaking of, have you heard from Sleet and Galahar? I shifted the subject. They want to gather all of the Guardians and meet at the Academy, probably to discuss our next move, whatever that may be.
I haven't heard anything yet, Brayden said with widened eyes. But we've been staring out at the sky for a while now, so we figured it was only a matter of time before word reached us. How bad is it out there?
It's even worse than it was before, I admitted. The toxicity of the air has only increased. We all broke out in rashes and suffered nose and ear bleeds, and we were only out there for a few minutes.
Micah.
My former roommate shook his head, and he ran a large hand through his dirty blonde hair.
I can't imagine what long-term exposure would do.
Nor can I. I sighed. Hopefully the alarm is enough to keep the civilians inside.
I hope so, too.
Brayden agreed with me. And then confusion danced over his broad features.
Wait. If the air is truly that toxic, how are we going to get over to the Academy? Surely we can't walk or anything.
I had Sarah open up a portal, and I'm going to have her redirect it toward the school. I explained.
So that explains why she was out there,
my former roommate realized.
Got it. Smart thinking, Griff.
Thanks, I said. Brayden nodded, and then his gray eyes darted over to his wife. Maddie stood over by the staircase, and her bright green eyes were underscored by deep purple bruise-like circles, as if she hadn't gotten any sleep. The banisher's face was paler than usual, and her high cheekbones looked hollow. Brayden's wife was usually bubbly and talkative, but as she studied all of us with a ghost-like expression, I wondered if she'd fallen ill.
Mattie, are you all right?
Arwen asked the dark-haired mage in a gentle tone she usually reserved for the children. Mattie's lower lip trembled, and the healer mage, along with Layla and Nia, hurried over to her. My eyes fell to Brayden, and I was surprised to see my former roommate's lips had drawn into a thin line of stress. When he noticed my gaze, he shook his head a little.
She hasn't been feeling too well lately, he noted in a quiet voice,
and I wanted to press my friend for more information, but Maddie was entitled to her privacy. If Brayden wanted me to know more, he would tell me eventually, but until then, I wasn't going to press the issue. The worried expression returned to his face, and I could tell he was concerned about leaving the banisher alone. Maddie is more than welcome to stay at the mansion, I proposed. Aaron and Vala are there, and company might be better than her staying alone.
I think that's a good idea,
my friend agreed with me in a quiet voice.
I would feel much better about her having company.
We can make a quick stop back at my home and then go to the Academy from there, I decided.
Thank you, Griff,
Brayden said again, and then he crossed over to Maddie. My women crossed back over to me as the ox-like summoner spoke to his wife, and I tried to get answers from their facial expressions, but none of them offered any indication of what plagued Maddie. The Flints carried on a short conversation, and after a minute or so, they joined us back over near the door. A little light had returned to Maddie's eyes, and she offered me a tiny smile as she approached.
Hi, Griff,
she greeted me.
Are you sure Aaron and Vala won't mind having me around?
They'll be happy to see you, I promised her. Vala might not be much of a conversationalist, but Aaron has enough energy for the both of them.
That's fair enough,
Maddie laughed, and the sound of it brought a little light back to Brayden's face.
Is it okay if I change? I know we're on a time crunch.
Go ahead, I insisted. We'll be right down here. Maddie gave me a grateful nod, and then the banisher scurried up the stairs. The rest of us lingered in silence for a while, and as we waited for Maddie to return, I noticed the state of Brayden's home. Usually, the summoner kept his dwelling tidy and immaculate, but the only word that came to mind as I peered around was haunted. Every surface was covered in a thin layer of dust, and I noticed there were a few cobwebs in the corners of the room. While I admittedly hadn't exactly made my home maintenance a priority as of late, our mansion had never looked like this, and I wondered what was going on with my friends. Maybe it was simply just a matter of not having enough time, or maybe it had been stress. But I hoped whatever was happening, Brayden would open up to me later. A few minutes later, Maddie returned, and she looked more chipper than before. The Banisher had managed to brush her hair, pull it back into a neat ponytail, and she was clad in a nice sweater, trousers, and a jacket.
"Ready,"
she declared, but her pleasant expression faded when Brayden passed her a gas mask.
"Just in case," he explained when Maddie's eyebrows raised. "The portal isn't far away, but I don't want to risk exposure."
"Trust him on that one," I chimed in. "We were out in it earlier and got some pretty wicked burns. It took some major healing from Arwen to clear it up."
"Oh, Maker,"
Maddie winced.
"That sounds fucking awful. Ugh, no thank you. It was definitely not pleasant."
Syra agreed. The warning seemed to be more than enough for Maddie, and she gratefully placed the gas mask over her face. The rest of us followed suit, and once we were all ready, my friends and I hustled out of Brayden's front door. We stepped out into the Ruby Night and made a beeline straight over to Sarah. I telepathically communicated we wanted to return to the mansion first, and the Arkan stiffened up and then opened up another portal just slightly larger than the one prior to properly accommodate everyone. We spilled into Sarah's portal, and my heart thudded in my chest. I'd never teleported around so many times before, and I was feeling a little disoriented from all of the movement. When I opened my eyes again, I was in the foyer of the mansion, and I was met by a very confused Aaron.
"Griff, why are you—"
"Maddie's going to stay here while we're at the academy," I answered before she could finish her sentence. "We didn't want her to be stuck in her house alone with everything going on. Do you mind if she—"
"Not at all,"
the mimic interjected, and then she flashed Maddie a brilliant smile.
"It's nice to see you again, Maddie. I was just thinking about making some hot chocolate. It's been kind of a wild night, and I could use a little comfort. Would you be interested in joining me?" "Absolutely,"
Maddie grinned, and after she gave her husband a tender kiss goodbye, she took the orange-haired mage's hand and followed her down the hallway toward the kitchen. Raiden's eyes lingered on the doorway, and I gently rested my hand on my friend's shoulder. "She's going to be just fine," I insisted, and Brayden offered me a small smile.
"Thanks, Griff," he said.
Once they were gone, Sarah opened up yet another portal. The dark winged Arkan's yellow eyes were slightly glazed, and I wondered if all of the portaling was taking a toll on her energy.
"I'm all right,"
she insisted before I could say anything on the matter.
"This isn't as intensive as some of the journeys we've made throughout the Shadowscape. It's just been a lot at one time. I've never opened and closed portals at this rate before."
"Please, don't hesitate to tell me if it's getting to be too much on you," I pressed. "I don't want you to hurt yourself, Sarah."
"I'll let you know straight away, my love,"
the Arkan promised, and then she inclined her head toward the portal.
"Now, I'd suggest you make your way to the academy. The headmaster and the Grand Mage are likely wondering where you all are."
I nodded at the Arkan, and then my friends, family, and I stepped over to the portal en masse. When we crossed to the other side of the doorway, we arrived in the middle of a corridor, and after I peered around to gather my thoughts, I realized we were near Arwen's classroom. I was surprised to see just how empty it was. It was a late hour, so I supposed it wasn't that strange none of the students were prowling the halls, but the last time I'd stepped foot in the school, it had been the sight of a hectic crowd. Where was everyone?
"Is anyone else weirded out by the silence?"
Layla spoke up.
"I don't even remember the last time the academy was this fucking quiet."
"It was quiet until you started running your mouth,"
Syra teased the petite summoner.
"That being said, you're right. It is eerily quiet, and usually that's a sign something isn't good. Wait, where are the alarms?"
Nia asked, and she lifted her chin to glance around.
"The sirens have stopped blaring."
"You're right," I realized. Without the alarm going off, everything was just as silent as it would normally be at this hour. Why would they have turned those off? It's not like the tentacles have disappeared.
"It is odd that they would have stopped,"
Arwen frowned.
"I don't understand why the headmaster or the Grand Mage would have turned them off when the threat is just as pressing as ever. Do you think something happened we don't know about?"
Layla wondered with a curious tilt of her head. "Maybe," I allowed. "I don't know. Something about this feels suspicious. Suddenly, Brayden froze and stiffened in place.
Did any of you happen to see a shadow just now?
The ox-like summoner murmured out of the corner of his mouth. No. I shook my head and scanned the corridor, but there was nothing out of the ordinary.
You saw something?
I swore I did,
Brayden insisted, and then he shivered.
Maybe I'm on edge, but I swore I saw the outline of something, Griff.
Don't tell me you're scared, Flint.
Layla raised an eyebrow, and then she shot her friend an impish grin.
Do you need me to hold your hand?
I'm not scared, Bethel.
Brayden rolled his eyes at the auburn-haired mage.
I just thought I saw something. Maybe I'm paranoid, but something darted by.
No, I believe you, I insisted, and then I peered around at my friends. Everyone keep your eyes peeled. The girls I helped outside of Helix described a shadow monster, so I don't want to discredit Brayden's observation. Everyone remains on high alert until we make it to the headmaster's office. Brayden, do you know what it looked like?
No,
Brayden replied. It was just out of the corner of my eye.
Okay,
I nodded, and my hand drew closer to the sheath at my side. My Rhine dagger wasn't the most formidable weapon, but it had come in handy more times than not, and there was a comfort in knowing I could defend us if needed. I sensed Sarah's eyes on me, and I turned to see the Arkan's weary frown.
Griff, do you want me to redirect a portal over to the headmaster's office?
The dark winged goddess wondered.
I don't mind.
I think we can manage. I cut her off. Besides, it might be good for us to walk around and check in on everyone. I'm sure everyone is fine, but I'd feel better if we checked.
Do you want me to accompany you and your friends?
Sarah asked. I think the students around here are scared enough by the sky. I don't want the sight of a goddess to scare them further, I tried to say in my most gentle voice. But luckily for me, the Arkan didn't seem offended by my words.
That's fair enough,
she agreed.
Most mortals aren't yet used to the sight of me, though. I'll admit I prefer it that way. Your approval is the only one I seek.
You got it, I smiled at her, and then I drew the goddess over to me and planted a soft kiss on her lips. Now, I'm going to go ahead and recall you into my mind, okay?
Call upon me if you need me,
Sarah insisted once we pulled away. I concentrated on returning the goddess to my consciousness, and once the tingling sensation on my back faded and the Arkan disappeared, I turned my attention to my friends. What? I asked as I met Nia's gaze.
Nothing,
the multi-elementalist shook her head.
I have to say, it's still a little strange to see you interact with Sarah like that. I've let go of my anger toward her, but I'm still adjusting to her being your... whatever she is to you. Your girlfriend?
Layla suggested.
Is she your girlfriend?
I suppose, I shrugged. Though it seems a little odd to call her that. Feels a lot more human than I think she'd prefer.
Note to self, don't call her that in front of her.
The auburn-haired summoner nodded.
Got it. Do you think you and Sarah would get married?
Syra wondered, and Freya perked up at the mention of the word.
An Arkan sister-wife?
The Hawk Princess raised a dark blonde eyebrow.
It is a good idea. Our husband deserves more goddesses as wives.
That's up to Sarah, I replied. I don't know if she'd want to go through such a human ceremony, or if us remaining as we are would be enough. I'm sure that conversation will come up eventually. If not, that's okay too. How would the rest of you feel about that?
If you'd asked me a year ago, I'd have said no.
Ashla answered honestly as she rested a hand on her hip.
But now, things are so different. I still don't trust Sarah completely, but I trust you. And if you want to marry her, I wouldn't be opposed. The idea of a goddess in a wedding dress is both ridiculous and beautiful at the same time.
Layla smirked.
Sarah's stunning, but I can't imagine her with a veil.
This is really interesting, but I think we should probably refocus, Brayden suggested with a small smile. I'd love to get more into the idea, but Slate is waiting, and I'm sure the others are probably in his office by now.
You're right. Let's go, I agreed. We continued down the winding corridors as we moved. I couldn't help but feel as if I was being watched. I couldn't explain the sensation, but it was akin to dread, and I looked out the corner of my eye to see if I could locate a shadow, but nothing was there. Suddenly, I became aware of the sound of footsteps ahead of us, and my heart stopped in my chest.
"Griff, is that you?"
I heard a familiar voice call out, and when I turned the corner, I was surprised to see the faces of the remaining guardians. Varlith Prost, Keith Almasi, Gawain Maddox, and Orin Vasgardi were four of my closest friends, and some of the strongest mages I knew. They'd had my back countless times, and we'd been through so many missions and battles together that when we'd been named the Guardians of Mistral, I wasn't too overly shocked.
"Come on now, it hasn't been that long since we've seen each other," I replied to Gawain, and the rest of our friends hustled over to us.
"Ever since we wrapped up the construction in the city's square, all of the days have felt like they've bled together," the fire mage remarked. "And now there's all of this to contend with. My mind feels a little scrambled."
"Well, hopefully it hasn't impacted your sense of sight," Layla quipped, and Gawain shot daggers at her out of his eyes.
"Are the rest of you okay?" I asked my male friends. "You haven't stepped out in it, have you?"
"Unfortunately, yes. But I'm fine," Almasi said, and he turned his wrist in my direction to show me the wicked-looking burn mark that circled around like a bracelet.
"I stepped out when the alarm rang out, and my sleeve didn't completely cover me. I've had my mask on, but I didn't realize the air would do more than hurt your lungs."
"I can help take care of that," Arwen promised.
"Scary stuff out there."
Orin shook his head, and the metalog crossed his muscular arms against his broad chest.
"Griff, how did this happen so quickly? The tentacles seemed so far away last night, but they attached as if they'd already been close enough to do so."
"I really wish I knew," I remarked, "at least from a logistical standpoint. I do have some answers about the demon."
"Ugh,"
Varlith drawled, and then he pinched the bridge of his nose.
"Let's hold off on demon talk until we reach Sleet's office. I'm awake, but I'm not awake enough to hear about all of that for a little while longer."
"Speaking of, I'm sort of surprised you weren't already up there," I frowned. "I thought you would have beaten us here for sure."
"Well, we would have beaten you if we hadn't gone off to investigate a strange noise we heard,"
Almasi replied as Arwen inspected his arm.
"A strange noise?" Layla prompted the Earth Mage. "What kind of strange noise?"
"It sort of sounded like a scream, but it was like... I don't know how to explain it."
"I could try,"
Varlith offered, and the surly banisher's jaw tightened.
"It was like a shriek, but one being carried by the wind. Like it was distant, but not static, if that makes sense."
"Oh," I said simply.
"Sorry."
The gypsy shook his head.
"That probably wasn't a better explanation."
"No, I understand what you mean," I assured him in a calm tone. "It was a moving sound, but it was faint?"
"Yes,"
Gawain nodded, and he stuck his hand in the pocket of his thick jacket.
"It was really odd, Griff. Almost animalistic."
Once he finished speaking, he peered off in the distance, and I studied my friend's face. The fine-featured mage looked gaunt, and I could tell something was weighing on him. Gawain was usually so cocky and exuberant, but tonight, he just seemed off. There was something more than exhaustion behind his emerald eyes, and it bothered me to know he was dealing with something. But it wasn't just Gawain. As my eyes followed along to the other mages in the group, I could see they all shared similarly ill coloring. Even my women seemed less vibrant than they had when we'd left the mansion, and I was beginning to wonder if something was affecting everyone. Did I look just as bad? For some reason or another, all of my friends were struggling, and that only motivated me further. We needed to put an end to all of this so we could restore our health and return to at least a semblance of a normal life.
"Wait, why didn't you lead the conversation with that information?"
Syra wondered, and her chocolate-brown eyes turned to Slits.
"I think that's a pretty important detail to lay out straight away, but maybe that's just me."
"Sorry. Didn't really seem like the best greeting given the circumstances."
Gawain rolled his eyes, and Orin rested his hand on the Fire Mage's shoulder before he could say anything else.
To be honest, I think I heard a similar sound when we first got here.
Freya spoke up in a small voice.
I thought maybe I'd imagined it, but if the rest of you heard it as well, maybe I didn't.
It might be worth investigating, I said as I glanced around at the empty corridors. Suddenly, I heard screams in at least three different directions. I don't think we're the only ones to have seen a shadow or heard a weird noise, I assessed, and my stomach tightened up as the realization struck me. There were monsters in the academy.